You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out. I don't remember saying to myself, you know what? I wonder what would happen if they took Lost in Translation and mixed it with 50 Shades of Grey. I don't remember asking that. But at the same time, if you were to pitch this to me and said, well, before you say no, let me introduce you to Alexandra Daddario, I'd be like, yes, let's do it. I'm in. Can we have lunch? Can I just stare into her icy blue eyes and go, you're pretty.
I think we're going to have some interesting opinions on this movie.
I suspect we will too. Said opinionators joining me are Adrian.
Hello.
And my girl Jordan.
Hello.
Hello. So the movie we're talking about is Lost Girls and Love Hotels. Now, it's not just the fact that I am kind of have a crush on Alexandra Daddario. I think she's a fine actress, no question. I don't want to insinuate that it's just that she has such a unique look. She certainly does. I think she was one of the high points of the first season of True Detective, but she was really great on that. I've seen her in other things that I really, really liked her in. But what really drew me to this was what appeared to be the conceit. Now, there's a book I love and I've talked about before on here called People Who Eat Darkness, the true story of a young woman who vanished from the streets of Tokyo and the evil that swallowed her up, which is a nonfiction book about white girls who come to Tokyo, work in love hotels, and basically serving as a sociological examination of that phenomenon, how odd that is and how that plays out as being hostesses. And then this one girl who unfortunately disappeared and the long search for the person who killed her among other people who also worked at Love Hotels. And so looking at the plot of this thing, which is Daddario playing a white girl who lives in Tokyo, who is by day someone who works in a English school, but by night is drifting around Tokyo. She is going to love hotels. She's having anonymous kinky sex with various Japanese men she meets, but eventually meeting up with a sort of dangerous and sultry Japanese man, Kazuo, played by Takahiro Hira, who is decidedly a member of the Yakuza, which, unlike what people say about the mafia, is in fact a real thing. I couldn't help but think, is this going to be something like that? Well, I guess it's a little bit, no, it really isn't. It's more of a girl drifting around Tokyo who is never really explained why she is the way that she is, which is to say deeply broken. It's certainly not explored at all. And an intriguing Japanese character that is largely treated in a faintly, as Adrian pointed out, as we were talking about this beforehand, faintly racist orientalist other way to make him interesting at all, which is a shame because the core of this is an interesting story.
Yeah, I was watching this and thinking, I don't know anything about this movie. I think I signed on because I love movies that are shot in Tokyo.
Who doesn't?
I'm a big fan of Alexandria Daddario, so I want to see her in something kind of artsy like I thought this was going to be. She does an okay job. She's definitely not bad. I wouldn't say she's great. She does a lot of really cool stuff with her eyes. Like, it really does feel like she's piercing right through the screen and just into your soul. And I'm not sure if that's intentional or a part of the script or that was her choice, but it worked.
That's those eyes. She's got those ice blue eyes that are like...
She just pierces into you and you're like, I'll confess to whatever you ask.
This is something that wants to be both, like you said, a movie like Lost in Translation. This wants to be artsy and poetic and deep. But this also wants to be 50 Shades of Grey and be erotic and sexy. And I don't think it does well at being either of those things.
How do you make repeated sex scenes with one of the most beautiful and piercing-gazed women working in Hollywood today not very sexy and even kind of dull?
Much like William Shatner doing a spoken word version of I'm the Real Slim Shady, they found a way. I will say, I thought the movie was good, but I'll also say I kind of don't want to see it again because it did bring up some troubling past for me, just kind of being in that sort of lost, sort of I'm just drinking my way through every fucking thing I can. Because, yeah, there's this moment where she meets up with friend of a friend, and she's like, I'm pretty much just drinking to sobering up. And honestly, the broken suicidal tendencies. So I'm not afraid to admit any of that past of myself. It's just, damn, this movie hit me a little bit harder than I thought in bringing back some of those stirring memories, which just also says of how good a performance I think Alexandra Daddario has, because it is very engaging. And yeah, it's a movie shot in Tokyo. 9 out of 10 times, you're going to get some great cinematography and a fantastic looking movie, even off a first year DP student, for fuck's sake. Unlike 50 Shades of Grey, this movie got the excitement of kinkiness right. Don't ask me how I know.
See, it's weird because I did not get that reaction from it. It all felt so mechanical.
Okay, well, at first, I will say at first, because I wasn't thinking like, oh, I'm just going to get a character drama. I was like, holy shit, we're going into hard stuff now.
But I feel like what you were talking about, like you bringing your own experiences to it, I can see that. And even it being perhaps triggering for people in some sense that have.
It was a little bit triggering for me, I will say. That's, again, I did like this movie overall, but it is sort of that way where I'm like, yeah, I don't want to watch this again because it's not going to be good for my psyche. Not on the level of, say, like 12 Years a Slave, where it's like, no, I'm going to physically cry my entire body to death if I watch that again.
My point being, though, is that whereas I can see you being able to bring, or anyone being able to bring their own trauma into this film and you have this as sort of a fulcrum to feel things, I didn't feel anything because we never know anything about this girl.
Yeah.
They really drastically go out of their way to avoid telling us anything about her except, well, she's obviously broken.
Yeah, it's like the most we get is like she just likes to drink.
Yeah, she likes to drink a lot. She has some friends there who live in Tokyo who are also expatriates, including Carice Van Houten from Game of Thrones, who is unrecognizable in her role as one of her good friends there. And this is all based on a memoir. I just don't know why this character is making the choices that she's making. The film, all it really lets you know is, yeah, she's, I mean, obviously she's not in a good place. That's not enough for this. And then for it to be sort of like, she's really into Japanese dudes, clearly, partially because she's getting these much younger dudes. But when she meets one who's older and more assured, it kind of gets into that 50 Shades of Grey stuff. But even then, it never really commits to it. It does send her on a downward spiral of getting more and more into self-destruction, but not in a way that I thought was ever interesting. At best, Daddario has the piercing eyes, and she's doing her best with a script that I think is really limited. But the cinematography is indeed gorgeous here, even if it does choose to... Yeah, a limited view of Tokyo. A lot of it is just inside gritty little bars, which I spent a decent amount of time at when I was in Tokyo myself, to be fair.
Well, it takes advantage of its title and really shows off those love hotels, which you could see any kind of documentary about that on YouTube or whatever.
That I did not go to, for the record. I looked for. I was like, anybody know where the Love Hotels are? And they're all like, I don't speak English.
And you'll always see like photo sets about them and stuff like that, because they're also interestingly lit. Like, there's a red room that's completely red because of the lighting in a blue room, and it almost looks like Suspiria at some points. But it's all shot well. It's just that, yeah, everything that's included in it is just so boring and dull. I'm sorry, I didn't think there was really anything that great about this to even recommend, except for maybe the Dario. You know, she does convey that she is broken and has problems, and she's just trying to get through it. She's the only way that we know that, because the movie doesn't say anything about it.
It doesn't address those aspects. Its resolution in no way addresses those aspects, and so the resolution just feels tacked on.
Yeah, while we don't get any essentially backstory for Daddario's character, what she does is interesting. But yeah, that ending just also smacked of, oh shit, I gotta end this movie now. What do I do? This happens. Then it leads into that. Yes! That just reminded me of how lazy as shit I could have been. I maybe have been in film school, where I'm just like, I got all this other shit to do, but oh damn, I didn't finish the spec script. Giant crab attack. Okay, there, the end. We got something.
Jordan, your mistake was you didn't go to Tokyo and do S&M in a bunch of like sleazy motels. That was your mistake.
I should have. And for the record, no, the ending of this movie isn't a giant crab suddenly attacks, although that would have been way more awesome.
Well, in Alan Moore's original novel of this, it was, so.
Oh.
I want there to be more to this. It's visually impressive, but the script is so not exploring, and I have not read the book. I've made a point of reading reviews of it, which really liked it and said, yeah, it gets deeply into what her and her friends and why they're there and their own issues and their feelings about Tokyo and the other, but in the sense of them being the other instead of the Japanese people being the other here. I mean, this film's all but entirely in English. You know, it's so slight, and it has nothing to say, and it has no characters that are worth exploring. And in the end, I was left questioning, why make it at all?
Yeah, kind of. But unlike when I watched Archive, that ending didn't make me completely remember, oh, this movie just doesn't need to exist then. Mm-hmm. At least this, I could see some merit, but with the twist in Archives, it's like, then this movie doesn't exist. This movie makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, I guess this movie makes sense if, like, you just took out every reason for it to exist in the first place out of it.
Yeah,
you know, I was never like, why did that happen? Oh, we get it. Why should we care is the question. But let's go to final thoughts, Jordan.
Yeah, this movie was really good and connected with me far more emotionally than I thought I did, going back to maybe some not so good things about my past, but you know, that's the beauty of art, cinema, as it were, and it can help you get through some shit you thought you might have been already over. I will say, great performance by Alexandra Daddario, and she is fascinating when they actually bother to try and explore some aspects of her character. And I've already forgotten the name of the Yakuza guy, so I'm, because there's also not much to his character. All we know is, like, he's older, he's into the rough stuff too, and he's supposed to be marrying someone. Ooh, scandalous. What the fuck ever. I barely remember anything else. Does it look great? Yes. I'll even say the music is wonderful. I really do like this haunting score. And I can even appreciate this movie pulling off the unfathomable feat of having the most depressing scene ever set in a cat cafe. So, with that, I'm going to give it 4... Nah, I'll go 5 out of 10 drunk businessmen trying to grope on your shit.
Adrian!
I think this wanted to be two things, and I thought, okay, maybe it can get away with being more artsy than it is erotic, because the erotic stuff definitely isn't working, and the artsy stuff at least looks pretty. And I thought, you know what, this has a really good closing shot. It's like a what's it called? Like a blurry kind of fade out. But turns out that wasn't the closing shot. The movie went on for another 20 minutes and ended in such a stupid way that made it seem like, okay, no. You definitely want to just be the erotic romance type movie that you would see on, I don't know, HBO or something like that. Like
Red Shoe Diaries or
something. Late night cinema.
I think this movie just kind of fails on both of those ends. This was just dull, and it's been done before. It's been done worse, but it's definitely been done better. I give this one chicken gizzard yakitori stick out of 5.
You know, in terms of its influences, I will definitely say, hey, man, if you haven't watched Lost in Translation, it really is a great movie. It's very quiet. It has a much wider view of Tokyo and what it is to an outsider, to a Westerner coming there and being there. But ultimately, it's a really fascinating character piece about two interesting people coming together as friends in that world. And it has a lot to say and is visually fantastic. I can't say the other influence, 50 Shades of Grey, you should go see, because you shouldn't. It's fucking terrible. It's a waste of celluloid, and we should probably forget it ever happened. But other than bringing us the great Dakota Johnson, who I like quite a bit, I'm not reviewing 50 Shades of Grey. I'm reviewing Lost Girls and Love Hotels, which is kind of dull. It has some memorable filmmaking, but is script is just so bland. It's so forgettable, and you just kind of sit there the whole thing. Just your fist on your face, just watching, going, okay, how much longer is there in this movie? You do a lot of that. And when it was over, I was like, are you sure you're over? Because it felt like it felt like this wasn't even an ending. Because it's not. It's we're out of film. I guess we'll end it this way. Fine. Whatever. This is a wasted opportunity with some real talent in it. I also really like the actor who is playing the Yakuza character near Takahiro Hira, the character of Kazu. He is definitely somebody who draws the eye and worked off of Daddario visually well, but you could tell there wasn't any chemistry between them as people. There's just nothing there. You don't feel there's a real connection, and you're supposed to believe that their connection is so strong it leads both of them to downward spiral, and I just never believed that for a second. This is very meh. I think that Daddario deserves much better projects than this. I get that she's trying still to prove herself. Hey, I'm not just another pretty face in Hollywood. I got some chops, and I believe that she does have some chops. This was not the project to show him off in. I'm going to give this 3.5 out of 10 UV lights that would make any of the hotel scenes in here look like a murder scene.
No.
Indeed. And since this was Alexandra Daddario, we will now go into the section where we theorize this is actually her character after the events of the Percy Jackson series.
Oh God, no. I forgot she was in that. Man, don't be like that. Man, it's like Percy Jackson and the Take My Love for That First Movie Away From Me Thief, Jordan. Jesus Christ. I actually do like that first movie. Shut up. Don't judge me.